This is the R&B Podcast. I'm Real Mike Rob. We had Dan Helly, the host with the most. Our guy on Total Access joined us this week with Nate Burleson on Nate Cam, talking little concussions if we would let our kids play, and the RG3 situation with the Browns. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Peace.
Dave Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program, presented by McDonald's, back in action.
Yes. Mm.
Two titanic brands, McDonald's, Damashek, joining forces for the spring through the draft.
Wow.
It's exciting, but before we can even say hello to everybody beyond saying hello, Maurice, hello, Patrick Claibon, let's jump into it. It's time for some no-huddle action to start things off the way we've been doing it the last few weeks. First question, Coach K getting a lot of heat for talking to an opposing player after the game. Appropriate or not, Maurice?
That's inappropriate. You don't talk to no one else's kids.
Nobody ever talked to you? No coach ever said
anything to you? No coach ever criticized me after, because I would criticize no other coach.
Claibon, how say you?
And then if you do, why lie about it afterwards?
Everybody lies. Everybody. He's like held, right? He's supposed to be like the holy grail of college basketball. He lied. Now we know everyone's human.
Well, this is two times over now, by the way. This is the second time. 2007, he's caught on tape doing it again, and again denying that he said anything that was an attempt at being constructive.
He's consistent.
Yeah.
He's a habitual liar.
Look at you. Hey, a guy who was in his 40s died over in Ireland, and a really cool thing. You can find the video online. It seems like it's going viral. His friends got together in the pub, and they sang his favorite song, which is The Killers' Mr. Brightside. Patrick Claibon, if you die today, what song should we go to the bar and sing for you?
If I died today.
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. You should go to the bar and sing.
This is going to tell a lot about you.
I have no idea. I'm not a music guy. The theme from Superman. I don't know. I have no idea. The Imperial March. I mean, what are we going to do?
That's a pretty big range you just.
Question.
Well, you're right. Maurice is exactly right. You don't just throw out your favorite song. It's got to somehow define you.
Yeah.
Mr. Brightside presumably defined the guy because he probably had a sunny disposition. Maurice, how say you?
You know, I had a long while to think about this, Shaq. You brought this to me earlier.
I wanted to give you a heads up.
That sounds nice.
He gave me a heads up. You know, me and Shaq are tight like that. I don't know how you and Shaq are, but me and Shaq.
The fix was in here.
Obviously not that tight.
You know, it'd have to be a Tupac song. I'm trying to think which one. I think in little Hail Mary.
Okay, I don't know Hail Mary.
Can I take Dear Mama then?
If you can't take mine.
I'm taking The Spy Who Loved Me, the theme from The Spy Who Loved Me. Baby, you're the best. Do-do-do-do. David, you're the best. Come on, let me hear what it would sound like. Everybody wants to attend their own funeral. Arjuna behind the glass, you join in too. Dave died. Did
you guys ready?
News? Let's
ready?
Go to the bar and have a drink and sing.
One, two, three. Exactly.
That's
what it's going to sound like.
Are you allowed to change the lyrics in your song? Like,
I just did.
You have to. You got to put
David,
your name in it.
You're the best. Do, 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 do.
Mine would be like, Hail Mary, come with Reese. You like that, huh?
And Claibon's, he's the theme to Superman.
No,
Yeah, there's no word to that.
I had 5 seconds to sum up my entire life in a song.
Hey, the Golden State Warriors look like they are going to complete the feat and go down as the greatest regular season NBA team of all time. Best
sense.
NFL football team you've ever seen for a single season, Maurice Jones-Drew.
You just picked Jacksonville Jaguars from 2006 to about 13 or the Oakland Raiders for 14.
See, now you're being silly.
No, do you want me to be honest?
Yes, I do want you to be honest.
Single season, I played against the Colts the year they had a pretty decent one. The Patriots are always good, but I'm going to have to go with the Oakland Raiders. Being a Raiders fan, the year I know it wasn't the best season. It was 2002 they went to the Super Bowl. They had a great run, though, throughout that year.
All right, Claibon, make some sense here, please. The Oakland Raiders, they didn't even win the championship.
They did win the championship. They lost in the Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Bucks. But you said regular season.
You're right. Okay, Claiborne.
I'll go with Deion's first Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good answer. That's a pretty solid team.
All right, if we're playing Homer, I'm going with the 14-2 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Why are we automatically playing Homer?
Why can't we say the greatest show on turf?
Because he named the Jaguars, Claiborne, and let's say hello to him. First of all, you watch him. He is bringing you all the breaking news on NFL Network and beyond. One of our favorites, now off probation. I had to put him on a 2-week probation.
What'd he do, Shaq?
Well, he sassed me on Twitter, and I didn't care for that.
Dang. You know Shaq is sensitive, man.
It must have been good, right?
You got to have his back, yo. You got to have his back. You can't never attack him from the front.
I told him, yeah, listen, I didn't do this to you. You did this to you, Claiborne. Serve your time, and if you do it the right way, we'll consider bringing you back, and now here he is.
Yes.
And also, you heard his voice as well already here. Another of our favorites here at NFL Media, it's Maurice Jones-Drew.
That's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguars. Addicted to the end zone. Now he's on with Damashek. Yeah, that's his new home. Some call him Maurice, but we all call him MJT.
Oh.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. No jive. I don't say this to curry favor with you, Maurice, or to make you hungry talking about curry.
Yeah.
Indian food's good. I saw you at a distance earlier today. I had to roll my window down and said, you look positively slender.
Thank you. I've been working out hard. I know my guy's not here, Ike Taylor, but because he'll be here in a week, can we just play his song? Because I just love his song much.
What was that going to pass for Claiborne?
No, it's just it's Ike is here.
Do you want us to play Ike's song at your funeral? I mean, at the bar, we'll sing Ike's song to Maurice.
No, not this one. Not this one.
It's just a good song.
The other one.
Oh, the good one. Yeah,
the good one.
The bad one. The first one by the one man house band, Dick Banks.
That's right.
They're searching for that. So
let them search.
You know.
We should wait in silence.
Guess who I caught up with a little bit ago, Maurice? Another UCLA guy who proved to be positively delightful, Akeem Ayers.
Oh, man, he's a great dude.
He really is. And stay tuned for that one. We've got that interview coming up for you. He and I figured a lot of things out about Los Angeles, about the team's move, about where the guy should live out here, and many other things.
So, where do you say they should live?
Well, he thinks, well, we were discussing that maybe he and I and Maurice, maybe it would make sense for you to join us as well.
Anytime.
To shepherd some L.A. Rams around town and show them real estate. Maybe we could do like a version of, you know, you ever watch HGTV where they
House
go
Hunters.
To the, House Hunters.
Hunters. Yeah.
House
yeah.
Hunters NFL. Watch.
That would be awesome.
We go around with but we take position groups around.
That's I'm all for it.
Hey, receivers, let's go. You all got to crash here for 2016. They're probably looking for a place.
A lot of sticker shock in L.A. House Hunters.
No. Not where they'll be living.
Hey, Akeem Ayers is in on this if you want to join our little business here. So, anyway, we'll have that for you in a bit, and we're going to get into
Do we have Ike's song yet?
I don't know. Arjuna, have you found it yet? Is it that difficult?
Still looking. Hold on.
How could it be that difficult
it's
to find
Ike Taylor 1. It's simple on the computer.
Let's jump into this.
Let's go, shit.
While we're waiting.
You know what? I'm hurt.
For the lack of Ike respect.
The lack of respect for my guy, Ike.
Hey, NFL.com, look for mock drafts because you'll see Maurice's. We reviewed yours a week ago. It was really intriguing stuff to go through the names and see where you have them slotted. And you can go back and listen to that one. Like I say, it was last Tuesday's show. If you're interested in that, Ike Taylor's joined the fray now himself. He's got his first. I got to tell you, he's got some cockamamie things on.
Does he? I haven't seen it yet. I'm trying to find it.
He has Howard from my beloved Indiana Hoosiers going 8th overall.
Why not? They need a back.
I don't think they're going to take him there, are they? They're going to take Howard? I saw you buzzing on Path to the Draft saying that Devontae Booker is better than Derrick Henry.
He's the number 2 guy.
I agree with you about that, although we'll talk to Derrick Henry later in the week and see.
And no disrespect. Tell him I meant no disrespect by it. It's just from my eyes.
The Utah kid looks dynamic and rugged. It's just a matter
of. It has less miles on his body, too.
Yep. So we're going to get into what some like here to call. Listen, I'm not opposed to anything that invokes my name. I'm down for that. I'm vain enough to do that. But I think it goes too far we recklessly speculate.
You got the song? Hold on, Shaq. He got the song. We got to listen to it. He's going to start the show right.
Number 24 is in the house. Ike Taylor's on the
show.
He's from the Bayou. You know who else is from the Bayou? Patrick Claibon. Hey, Claibon.
It's all Bayou.
You're not the Bayou. You're from Alabama.
Yeah. Well, to Dave, you have to understand Dave Damashek's view of America.
Wait, Bama doesn't count as the Bayou?
No.
I thought the majority of
it. Isn't it Mississippi?
There's the smart part, and then to Dave, there's this bucket of dirty water.
Yeah, and that's where you are. You fit right in.
How dare you attack me?
He's not
like
from
that.
The Bayou, Sheck.
Close.
What is it? What is Mississippi's in the Bayou, right? It's part of Mississippi.
There's parts of Mississippi.
They don't play music like that where you're from in Alabama. That Cajun-y kind of sound.
What, like it's an anthem? Is the
title? That's what I'm getting at is now that Ike has a different theme song, we can give that one to you. Patrick Claibon's on the show.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! No?
That's what you want, that one?
No, I'll pass. It works for Ike. It works for Ike. I'm not sure that
he rejected it. He demanded a new one.
I'm shocked.
I tell you what, man, you can't be too picky on the Sheck Show. When he offers you a great song to come on, you should take it.
Yeah,
you should. You should. It's like an olive branch.
I will embrace my Bayou heritage.
Patrick Claibon's on the show
in Birmingham, Alabama. The well-known Bayou, of water.
Let's get into this. Now we're going to make people call them bold predictions. Some people, I like to call it reckless speculation. Others here, though, favor the name reckless Sheckulation. Mm. That's a little too much. That goes one step too far.
I mean, there's a lot of the Shecky.
Reckless Sheckulation. I'm down for the Sheckies and everything else, but Sheckulation is one step too far.
It's a perfect. The rhyme scheme is perfect.
Okay, if you like it, then we'll call it the reckless Sheckulation. But you're involved in it, Claibon, today.
Yes.
Let's go around here and let's talk about as we sit. In very late March, obviously the draft is nigh, so maybe your prediction will be draft-based or it can project ahead to 2016. Real quick, though, just to let you know, I'm no amateur when it comes to making bold proclamations. In 2015, I made some reckless speculations around this time of year, and a lot of them came true. Let's look back here. Arjuna was kind enough to pull those. I said the Saints are going to move up in the draft and take Mariota and maybe draft Drew Brees. Wrong. Buzzer.
Deal.
Give me the buzzer on that one, Arjuna. That wasn't good. I said the Texans would win the division and be one of the four best teams in the AFC.
Once you win the division, you're the fourth best team in the AFC.
So I was correct.
But were they the fourth best team?
They won the division, didn't
but they lost in the first round of the playoffs, so they weren't the fourth best team.
No.
They make the divisional round.
At the end of the season, you would rank the Texans as the
Maurice, Patrick. Let's not be difficult.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Bye. Don't you dare give them
that
a buzzer.
Wrong.
That is absolutely.
I'm putting an asterisk.
That's like
on
a half and a half.
Right,
I'm gonna start calling you Barry. You got an asterisk next to that one.
Claibon, you remember how you were in the penalty box for 2 weeks? You don't want to go back there, do you?
I've got principles, Dave.
Patrick Claibon's not on the show.
Woo!
I said the Broncos would miss the playoffs. Now, I was wrong about that, but as I've said many times, boy, that one came within a whisker coming true. If the kid from New England doesn't fumble that punt in the third quarter when it's snowing in that Sunday night game, they don't go to the playoffs. If A.J. McCarron hangs on in that game later in the year on Monday night, they don't go to the playoffs. If Jamal Charles doesn't fumble the ball in week two in KC, the Broncos don't go to the playoffs. All those things are true. But if is an easy thing to throw around, so I was wrong. And I take my buzzer like a man.
Absolutely.
Give it. There you go. There we go. Next up, I said the Patriots will miss the playoffs if Gronk can't stay healthy. That gets a null and void because it didn't happen, so that's we don't judge that one. I said the Ravens will finish no better than third in the AFC North. Thank you.
That's called hate, though. You're supposed to say that. Now, what are you going to talk about Cincinnati? Because they're the new Ravens. They're the new Baltimore Ravens.
What do you mean, what am I going to talk about?
So when is your speculation about this year in Cincinnati? They're going to not finish nowhere better than third?
That's how Sheck felt about Cincinnati last year. They weren't even a part of the speculation.
Let me tell you something. I'm the Steeler whisperer. How do I know that? What is the proof of that? Because for four straight seasons, Maurice, I have in the preseason said correctly what their record's going to be. That's how you can't do better than that. Four straight years, I've told you what their record's going to be.
You're exactly right, Sheck. The one thing is.
Is what?
You were so nervous. Do you know what the Shecks are? Have we ever gone over the Shecks on this program?
The what? The Shecky Awards?
No, the Shecks.
No, I don't know what the Shecks are.
Shecks are it's a term when you sweat profusely through your armpit area, and it goes through your shirt. Multiple shirts at that.
That's not happening so, today, though.
No, because you got like three shirts on.
It goes up in Shecks. Then
it's like yeah. So during the playoffs, I'm assuming the Shecks at the Damashek household, where it's like level 5. It was like 5 shirts.
You're just shirtless at that point.
I don't scream and yell. I don't scream and yell watching games.
You sweat.
I it's way too serious for that.
Hey, some of the best things that happen on Sundays.
My days for 3 hours, 3.5 hours on Sundays in a tight game, I basically sit there like it feels if somebody punches you in the stomach for the first 20 seconds after that happens. That's how I feel for 4 hours. That's how watching that Bengals playoff game, I just felt sick. The whole game, I just felt sick and disgusted and you know, out
sweaty.
Of breath.
Yay, football.
Hey, I don't want anybody to reach the position I've reached in life. It's not fun to be a sports fan for me anymore. There's no pleasure in it. It's either relief if my team wins or devastation if they lose. There's no happiness involved.
And then tell him what you do. He comes out, we're going to lose this one. No, this one. Yeah. This one's the one. This is one of the ones we're going to lose. And when they win, he's like, it's always –
That's right.
You never. That's not.
It's like not
fandom.
Believing in heaven. I always say to people who tell me, yes, you have to believe in heaven. I say, I don't go in for that. And they said, how sad for you? And I say, no. I hope you're right, because my expectation is the lights are going to go out and they're never going to come back on. You are waiting for heaven to arrive. So you're going to be like, I died. All right, heaven. Oh, cool. I'm glad it's here. Good. So now we live forever. Me, on the other hand, I'm waiting to just be dead forever. When I find out there's heaven, I'm going to be like, woohoo, I was wrong.
Yeah, it's Dave.
It's a win-win for
It's Dave sure. setting his own joy.
Do you understand?
His own parameters for
By joy. The way, I have spoken with the boss man here, Jordan Levin, and confirmed that if I do die tomorrow, that they will on I asked for the entire NFL media group to go dark for the day. He said, no, we can't do that.
You got to fly the flag half-staff.
What do you think, Maurice? What should they do if you go? What if you die today? What should we do?
Man, you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
Just get out a good old 1942 tequila, hold one up for your guy, pour one out for me, and enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Is that true?
I'm easy going.
I don't want that. I want everybody, when they do that thing like, hey, he'd want you to keep going. He'd want you to play
you want
on.
Him to stop.
I want everybody to mourn. I want everybody to sit around with the lights low and just think about me.
That's
Think about
it.
Like, man, the world's going to be not so much fun anymore.
The people
you know?
That are listening are going to be they're going to be able to listen to this while they work out.
But I have Jordan did tell me that on one of the shows on NFL Network that they would go to break with a black screen.
Whoa.
And Melvin Gordon's looking for his big breakout in his sophomore year in San Diego. And some sad news to report today. One of our own, Dave Damashek, fell prey to
the Shecks got him.
A phoenix.
He sweated too much.
Lost his battle with the Grim Reaper. We will miss him. Then they just fade to black, and then a Bud Light commercial comes on, and then you go on with your day.
No Slate, wow. No Dave Damashek.
They got
like
to
be the, I'd like there to be the years. As I've said before, too, I also don't show a picture of me now. Don't show me heavy set and
show
balding.
Me when I was bet right.
I want a picture when I was 22 and had a mane of hair.
Like chopping wood.
Oh, I was slim and handsome. Yes, don't show me. The thing when somebody is 87 and they die and then they show him when he's 87. Why do they do that?
The worst. I don't know.
Show him when he's handsome.
Yeah, make me feel good.
Yes.
Don't show me now. Show me a couple years ago.
All right, we've held it off long enough. So what was I there, Arjuna? 3-1, 3-2 on the 2015?
Just a question mark.
You were 3-3.
I wasn't 3-3.
Yeah, because you got the Gurley and Melvin Gordon going the first round.
And I consider the Gronk one incorrect.
Oh, the sniper.
The Gronk one incorrect.
Because if you read the description, you said Gronk has to stay healthy the entire season, and he did miss a game due to injury.
Oh,
that is
bonk.
Well, actually,
well,
behind the glass.
Shame on you, Arjuna. Yeah, buzz yourself.
You're gonna lose your job, brother. You don't know Shaq like that.
I'm out of here on Thursdays.
Oh, look at that! So he's
think
just
that's
going
an
rogue.
Accident? You think
he's
that's
going
an
rogue.
Accident? He's out on Thursday. It wasn't his choice.
He's going rogue.
Hashtag nothing to lose.
I just sent an email. That's why he's out on Thursday. All right, so let's start it with 2016. We don't have to live in the rearview mirror. I'll start us off here. with this little prediction. I say that Jerry Jones at number four is going to look at the lay of the land. This is a defense-heavy draft, and it is clear that the wise move here, that the sound football choice, the sober choice, would be to go defense. If you can get Miles Jack, who by all accounts is going to be special in the NFL, maybe a guy like that would make sense. Maybe Buckner, maybe Bosa. You can debate those names. Maybe Jalen Ramsey falls to them. However, I think it's going to be too much to pass on Zeke Elliott. He's going to take Zeke Elliott, put him behind the NFL's best offensive line, and Tony Romo, who we know his football mortality is right here. It's right here for us. It's win now mode in Big D. If you're backing Tony Romo as your starting QB, as Jerry clearly is, you have Dez Bryant here. The formula is there for them to be offensively dominant. They will take Zeke Elliott, and they will thrive as a result of that. And let me throw this at you. Think about it this way. If you know, if you're Jerry Jones, if you know that you can get the level of production from Zeke Elliott that Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell gave their teams when they started their careers,
right?
Don't you have to take him?
I'd say yes. That's where I have him going to my mock draft. It just seems right, right? It makes sense. If he went to the playoff 2 years ago with a solid running back in DeMarco Murray,
right?
You went to the division round, probably won that game. Let's be honest. If we knew what a catch was, right? And then the next year you lose DeMarco Murray, guys get hurt, and there the whole thing falls apart. You would think he wants to go back to that divisional round or get back to those playoffs. You need a running back.
Well, and again, I say the win now aspect of it. This isn't a team that you're not building something for the next half dozen years. You got Tony Romo. He's got 2 years left ish. Let's say four or five years left, but let's be realistic and say he has about 2 years left. Cash in now, Claybon. How say you?
To me, it's tough. They had the opportunity to be outlandish and draft Johnny Manziel, and we were expecting a lot of different things. And there was a point where we were expecting defense, and we thought, well, Jerry's going to take a defender here, and they go and get Zach Martin out of Notre Dame. And so I think it's tough to evaluate Jerry based on, 1995 to 2008 Jerry versus the Jerry we have now.
I know, but I also think he deserves credit that he hasn't really gotten for making some savvy personnel moves. Now, Greg Hardy, we can debate. Maurice and I did that last week, that, some of the stuff behind the scenes, whatever. It's still, at this point, it's hard to argue that it wasn't a failed experiment. But still, right. Hardy was a little bit better than I think people give him credit for, but the disruption behind the scenes was ultimately not worth it. And then, like you mentioned, Claybon, he had to apparently be talked out of Johnny Football at the last minute. But those two things notwithstanding, he's built the best offensive line. Well, you wouldn't give Jerry Jones the credit for doing that.
Well, I think, or
wouldn't have expected him to do something savvy like that.
I think he went back to the 90s, right? You think about the 90s and that offensive line they had. I mean, granted, they didn't get all those guys in the first round, but they had a solid offensive line. They had a really good tight end. You had a quarterback. You had a receiver. I mean, they're trying to build the same way. All they're missing is that one piece from the 90s, from the triplets, right? You're missing the running back piece. Now, you had that with DeMarco Murray. You saw you're able to go. I thought a lot of those picks, we weren't expecting it, but he's been building, I want to say, ever since they took the center. Who's the center from Wisconsin? Frederick?
Yeah.
When they took him, they started to – build this team to be like the 90s Cowboys.
Well, I mean, I think go ahead.
If you think that he's Todd Gurley, absolutely.
But I don't think he's that, and I know I have had this conversation.
I think he's close, though. I think he's close to what people
think. I think Todd Gurley is special, and when I say, I mean, it's easy to throw around superlatives, but I think he is the most talented runner I've seen in the 21st century. The first game you watched him play at Georgia, he immediately jumped out as this guy is different. He's not just going to be a great runner. He, if he can stay healthy, is going to be the dominant runner of a decade.
I think that's the issue you have to put it. If he can stay healthy, he's been banged up in his career in college. When you look at Ezekiel Elliott, he's fresh.
I know, but he's not as good. His high end isn't as high as Todd Gurley's.
I don't know. You got to remember – and I'm not saying I can't say he's Todd Gurley or not, but watching tape, and when you watch him, he moves around like he's 210 pounds and he weighs 230. That's special. And I think that's what people fail to realize.
Zeke Elliott's 230?
He weighed like 228.
Yeah.
I didn't know he's that big.
See what I'm saying? Now look at your foot. Now look how you saw he changed.
I'm advocating for him to go for.
How do you How do you look at the things that he's not asked to do, though? Playing the Ohio State offense.
Well,
how do you?
But they don't do a traditional offense. But he does everything a running back's supposed to do. He runs between the tackles, right? He runs out of a pistol formation. It's the same thing as running. I ran out of pistol in the league. It's the same thing as running behind in the dot. But he's really good doing the stretch zone from gun, which you see a lot of people do on third downs. He's really good blocking. I've seen him put his face in there against linebackers and hit linebackers in their mouth. He pushes the pile forward. And not only can he do that, he can run away from you. Catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's great in the open field. He does it all. When he doesn't have the ball is the key. That's when you – when runners are easy to judge a guy when he has the ball. It's easy. But when you don't have the ball and you're lead blocking, how do you do it, right? You see him go out and attack guys. He does things, little things that you don't normally see guys do. And then, again, when he's moving, you're like, oh, this guy weighs 210 pounds. Then he weighs in at 228 and runs a 4.4. That's different. That's special.
Claybon's down on him.
I'm moving towards the conversion.
I'm just telling you, when you see a guy that can carry weight, like that's why Tunsil is such a big player, because he carries at 315 like he's 280. That means that guy is really athletic and he can move around and do some things with some force behind him. That's what makes football players special.
Claybon, next up, give us one. Give us some speculation.
All right, the last time the Browns had a serviceable quarterback was in 2007. When Derek Anderson completed 56% of his passes and had 29 touchdowns. I think RG3 is going to eclipse those numbers.
What?
I believe it. I'm buying tickets.
Sound the alarm, everybody. He went right past reckless speculation into logo world.
Honestly, is it that reckless, these numbers? 29 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. I think RG3 beats both of those numbers. I don't think he throws 15 interceptions.
Can I assume then from that prediction that you don't think at number two they go quarterback?
No, I think they still go quarterback. There's obvious pressure in the situation to get a quarterback there, but they can do that. They can afford to do that. And they can afford to take a guy maybe that they think has some time and space.
Well, actually, that's what's tripping me up about this. If they really believe in RG3, then you wouldn't. It's not like they have a deep roster. You wouldn't want to take a quarterback at two if you believe that RG3 is going to be your starter for all the season.
When I look at Hugh Jackson and what he's done, when they took Andy Dalton in the second round and they built around him in the first round. I see them doing that. There's too many holes in Cleveland to fix right away. So you have to start piecing things together and building around your quarterback. So, yeah, you can get a guy in the second round. You can get a Connor Cook or maybe a Carson Wentz. You just never know.
You left off the other name that I have now made my prediction. They're going to – what they do at number two is maybe Miles Jack. If Miles Jack is indeed – going to be, and it seems like this is with the possible exception of Tunsil, because a lot of people are very high on what he's going to do in the NFL for the next decade and a half. But Miles Jack is this can't miss guy. He's the most talented guy out there right now. Why wouldn't you, if you're the Browns and you need an overhaul, why don't you start with the best player and get him out on the field, and then at the top of two, maybe you roll the dice and say, all right, let's see if we can hang in and wait till the top of three and see if he's still there. In the meantime, get Dotson from TCU or somebody like that in round two. Then in round three, Cardale Jones. Is that crazy that a good NFL starter but needs a year or two to get ready?
I think the biggest thing, you have a couple suitors for him, like the Cardinals are a suitor for Cardale Jones.
You think at the back of two, Cardinals
might
get him?
Yeah, he fits that mold, and Carson Palmer's not getting any younger, and the playoff experience is scaring the hell out of him.
I agree with you, man. I agree. This thing about the Cardale, we talked to him a couple weeks ago. You can go back and listen to that one. Maybe he's managed at this point. I mean, a fair amount of it is that clearly his handlers have gotten in his head. He was a delightful guy, was a funny guy, chopping it up with his teammate, with Von Bell. But when asked questions, you can tell that he's been instructed. No fooling around. Like, you're all about – when you're asked, oh, I'm all about film work right now. I'm all about studying. Right. Like, it was very sort of measured, his responses and everything else. But, all right, maybe that plays to NFL teams right now. He's saying the things he needs to say to get drafted. I'm not going to be surprised if he goes in the second round.
One thing that Coach Billick said a while back that stuck with me is that need is an awful talent evaluator. And so what RG3 has done – is he's reduced that need to get a quarterback to where we can have this conversation. So they don't absolutely have to go quarterback at two, there's still the Cardell situation. There's still guys that are available. Maurice mentioned Connor Cook, where RG3 has done more for this franchise almost just by being there than almost anybody else has in the past few years.
Well, think about this, though. RG3 is still a rookie, right? He didn't play last year. He's still a young quarterback. So why go out and spend on an unknown product when you know what you have here? I know what he can do. We saw what he did his rookie year. We saw what he did his second year before he got hurt. The kid was able to – he was making plays, and he gives you a dynamic that most teams don't have. Now, you have to work with him, yes. But we've seen what Hugh Jackson did with Carson Palmer. We've seen what Hugh Jackson did with Andy Dalton, with A.J. McCarron, right? We've seen him turn guys that are into, okay, like –
I agree. And by the way, again, the Browns, no matter what happens between now and September, are not a Super Bowl contender. So it doesn't make a difference unless you think Jared Goff or Carson Wentz is going to ascend to being a top 10 QB and you're certain of that, then address all the myriad needs that you have all over the field with Ramsey or Jack, two guys who are apparently can't miss. And I know that there's no such thing, but those guys, I mean, collectively, everybody is sure they're going to be studs.
I would rather build around in Cleveland. I'd rather build around and use RG3 for as long as I can. Okay, and then get a later round guy, like you said, Cardale Jones, somebody that's serviceable, and just try to piece together, because Andy Dalton, when he came out, wasn't a world beater.
Nope.
No one thought that this guy was going to be half of what he is.
He still isn't. Still hasn't done anything.
He got hurt this year.
I know. He still doesn't want a playoff game.
Shaq, he was hurt.
He was giving you the shekels.
Say no disrespect, because when you say that, you have to say no disrespect, so then you can disrespect.
Talk about somebody who's sensitive. Don't go calling him a beast.
That's why I said you got to say no disrespect. See, you got to say it, Shaq. He's gonna call this show and have a big hissy fit.
I thought I made it clear that I am in fact rooting against the Bengals. I'm not gonna. I'm
but
not,
if you say no disrespect, you can say whatever you want.
Okay, no disrespect, Andy Dalton, but you haven't won a playoff
there
game
you
yet.
Go.
So the assumption that all is gonna be right when you return from your thumb boo boo is specious. Now, Maurice, do you want to share one, or should we?
I am ready. Okay, I'm ready for one.
Lay one on me.
My speculation is that the Jaguars in this draft go defense for most of it. And by doing that, they're able to turn around and they win the AFC South this year.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you think, though? The X factor is obvious. I mean, listen, it's not all on Blake Bortles. The offensive line needs addressed. The defense has some gaping holes, but there are now some intriguing pieces now. They have that nice 1-2 punch at running back. We know about all the talent at pass catcher. In year three, is Blake Bortles ready to really thrive? I mean, he was a stats machine.
I think
fantasy fans certainly loved Blake Bortles in 2015, but that didn't equal the reality. I mean, he wasn't a winner of a QB, but he did put up the numbers.
I think this is year two in a West Coast system where you have to go through reads, you have a number of protections, and I think he does better than he did interception-wise last year. I don't know about the touchdowns because he threw a lot when they were down, but I think that alone – because they were in more of their games than what people think. I mean, they were in the Atlanta game. They were in a couple other games as well where they lost by a touchdown or two towards the end of the game. You fix that defense. You have a quarterback that's in the same system. I think they play well. I think you run the ball. It's simple as that.
All right, give me one. I don't remember, to be honest, who you had. Did you have Jack going to?
I had Jack going there. At five, I don't know if he'll be there.
He's not going to be. No. I'm telling you, something's going to happen. Because this momentum behind Miles Jack now leads me to believe that he might even go number one.
You know, I started that, right?
Yeah.
I stirred the pot up. That's my fault. I stirred it. I got it going, man. Because the kid does everything. I went to practice. This is what I told coaches at the combine. I went to practice one day, man. And I'd heard about this kid, and I was excited to see him. I was like, I want to see this dude. Like, let's. What are you talking about? So I went over to the one-on-one drills with the running backs and the linebackers. I'm like, where's this guy at? Oh, he doesn't do one-on-ones over here. He goes over there. And he's over there playing man-to-man on the receiver, pressing. I mean,
crazy.
That there, you don't find that. And then you see the way he plays the run is unbelievable. And he returned kicks and punts and played running back. You don't see linebackers at 240 pounds do that.
Was it a patella tendon?
Meniscus. It was something you don't need. You don't even need that.
As mine is popping out at the moment. But when Well, one thing I love about the Miles Jack talk is people aren't as open about those concerns, the injury concerns anymore. It's like it seems like people are starting to trust medicine, and I'm thankful for it. Because to have these guys torn down, you know, just for being human was
– Well, yeah. Todd Gurley is a great example of that too. People who wanted to sleep on that. I mean, and the other thing is too, it's funny because I always feel like – I always laugh. I mean, every single time it happens. How many examples? The first one I can think of is when Mike Vick got into his trouble whenever that was now. What, has 8 years ago now?
A long time ago.
I remember, oh, no one's – what NFL team? No NFL team will ever touch him again. I said, please. Of course, if you really think that, you're loco. If he's talented, people are going to want him. This is always true. And the most recent example of that is Shane Ray. Same thing as the other kid that, you know, no one's ever going to touch RG3 again after his histrionics in D.C. Oh, come on, please. Oh, no one ever wants Colin Kaepernick. You watch. That's one of my predictions, in fact. Kaepernick will move on or before the draft. Someone is going – they're going to wait it out, and somebody will throw that third-round pick that San Francisco's been waiting for, or maybe they're waiting to see if they get Wentz or Goff at 7 are the Niners, and then they'll move on from Cap. But one way or the other, you wait and see. Cap's going somewhere. My prediction is the Rams. The only thing that muddies that up is that it's within the division.
Yeah, he has to go to the Broncos. He's not going to the Rams.
He could go to the Rams as long as the Niners don't mind keeping them in the division, which they might get spooked by. But other than that, it makes sense because, you know, the Rams, they kicked the tires on Peyton Manning a few weeks ago. You know, they want to name QB there. They can say whatever they want about Case.
They love Case.
Right. They can say whatever they want. They want a name QB.
I'm allergic to Case Keenum.
They say Case almost won 4 games at the end of the season.
I'm allergic to guys like that. I try to just keep their names.
All right. So Marie says the Jacksonville Jaguars win the AFC South.
I gave you two. They go mostly defense in the draft. Right. I think they're going to address a little bit more of the offensive line, but it's going to be mainly defense. And by doing that, so they have to do the first one. But by doing that, they win the AFC South.
All right. I like it because that leads me into this one that I really have not arrived at my final verdict for. Since in the last 6 football seasons, I've worked at the NFL now for 6 seasons. In 5 of those 6 years, I think 2012 is the only one that this was not the case in, there has been at least one division champion who didn't win double-digit games. So that means that collectively in an entire division was bad. This trend started with the 2010 Seattle Seahawks winning that NFC West. I mean, for the last, you know, half decade, everybody talks about the NFC West with reverence, and they talk about that that's the great division. But, of course, let's remember, not very long ago, 7-9 won that bum thing, and then the beast mode run sort of shook the whole thing up, and they never looked back. 2011, the team that ended up going on to win the Super Bowl, the Giants, went 9-7. The Broncos went 8-8. Then 2012 skips. A couple teams win it with 10 wins, or the lowest ranking division winners there. Then the Packers in 2013 come back 8-7-1. That's the Aaron Rodgers pass to Randall Cobb in Chicago to steal the division there. 2014, NFC South Panthers were 7-8-1. 2015, AFC South and the NFC East were won by 9-7 teams. So, following this trend, who's the bum division in 2016? Claybon, I look at you.
The AFC West.
Place to start.
No way.
No way. And let me tell you why, Maurice. Well, go ahead and explain why you think so, Claybon. I got an easy way to look at this. If you think the AFC South is going to rise up, because are the Colts going to be bum? Are they going to be bums this year, Maurice?
No, I'm just saying no way. You have two teams there that are going to win, I feel, are going to win 10 games.
But it matters who who they play. The reason that this is happening isn't random bad
luck. No, they play the South. No, they're going to play the South. Don't get me wrong.
It's the fact that the reason that you have bum divisions annually, that there's always one bum division, it's whoever gets the bad draw with the two other divisions they have to play.
But the South,
AFC West plays the AFC South and the NFC South. That sounds like, oh, that's as good a draw as you can get, except for the fact that the Texans, Colts, Titans even are kind of interesting, and the Jags are interesting all of a sudden. And then the NFC South has the Panthers. The Falcons look intriguing, and so, too, do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on some level.
And don't forget the Saints.
I forget
Drew Brees has a tight end now.
No, they
he went and got Kobe Fleener. He's going to be all right.
No, they're going to be bad. I think, in fact, they're the last place team in the NFC.
Yeah, were they almost the reason that you were going to go with the South?
No, well, I don't know. I'm interested. What's your thought? Why do you come up with the AFC West there, Claybon?
Because I'm looking at the Super Bowl champions potentially going with Mark Sanchez and the Chargers not necessarily – I mean, getting better, but when the Chargers and Raiders improve, what does that do to the Chiefs and the Broncos? And so we're adding places and subtracting others. And if I have to pick a division, it's that one.
It's a hard game to play most years, but this year in particular, this is really tough to figure out who is what bum division is there. What's looming for disaster for all the teams? Maurice, how say you?
Well, first let me talk about the West. Kansas City is going to win 10 games. That's just what they're going
to
do.
Well, they don't have Justin Houston. That's a bad place to start in March.
D4 came in and had 3 sacks and a crucial play against the Chargers. I mean,
true.
They have talent around where they're backing up, so they'll be fine. Alex Smith doesn't turn the ball over. You get Jamal Charles back, you're good. The Raiders, on the other hand, they have a chance to win 10 games. Now, yes, you play the AFC South, but some of those games, I want to say the Colts go to Oakland. They have some – I want to say that. Let me make sure – I'm right.
I pulled everybody's schedule up
okay,
for you
see.
To peruse because
yeah, so
that's really what
they
what
play
it's
the
about.
Texans and the Colts at home. So, all right, you know, you go to Jacksonville. You already won in Tennessee last year, so I think they'll be fine. For me, it has to be. Oh, this is gonna be tough. It's gonna have to be the South, man. The NFC South, I think, to be honest with you.
So in other words,
I don't believe
the Panthers can do it again.
No, I don't think they're going to regress. They just don't play the NFC East again. As remember, they won majority of their games at the NFC East. And they played the South, right? The NFC East and the AFC South. You're going to have to. I think they play again. Let me get back to it. Make sure I'm not wrong. You have Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa, Arizona, right? So you slapped them already. I don't know how you're going to do that. You play the Niners. You play the Vikings, who's really good. Kansas City and San Diego. You come back, you play the Raiders, the Broncos. How's that going to fare again? The Seahawks again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
road games. Well, you know, with the Broncos, real quick, let's talk about that because I don't think we've really addressed that. Mark Sanchez is a punchline for the bunt fumble and many other things over the course of his career. But is he worse than Peyton Manning? Of course he's not.
Yes,
is that, I mean,
of course
yes.
He is.
Mark Sanchez 2016 is worse than Peyton Manning 2015?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, absolutely nothing. What do you mean absolutely? There's no absolute. Peyton was the worst starting quarterback in the league last year.
And Mark Sanchez didn't start. And then when he did start,
okay.
He lost the one game to the Miami Dolphins that they had won when he came in. The game was won, and he gave it to
him. To some extent, I'm playing devil's damashek here, but I really do – I can see that Mark Sanchez – I mean, it's funny except for the fact that they won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning playing the way he was
this
playing.
This is the funny thing about it. When you listen to Mark Sanchez's interview, he's like, I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have kids. I'm just here to focus on football. Well, what have you been doing your whole career? if you've been doing that, you might want to get a girlfriend and kids in to get some distraction away from doing whatever you've been doing. Right?
That's a good point. Maybe time to shake it up, man, because what you've been doing.
It hasn't worked.
Hey, you're the Anthony Sampson, Mark Sanchez. Maybe you do need a haircut.
Yeah, my goodness, right? So don't come and give me this, like, I'm going to work hard. So what have you been doing then? If you're going to work hard now, what have you been doing
before? Nobody else works hard.
Yeah.
Very sound point. All right, you want bold? I'm going to go bold. I say the circle gets completed back to my first season at the NFL. Let's return it to the NFC West as the worst division. Consider, you know, the Niners aren't going to be a great team. They're not. I mean, they might show signs of progress, but
no.
Are they suddenly going to be great under Chip Kelly with the lack of defensive pieces that they have there? No. The Rams are perennially 8-8. What's that?
You had them going to the playoffs last year.
I know, but that's rear view mirror.
Okay.
Maurice,
I just making sure, Shecky. Got to hold you accountable in this thing, no?
Claybon, was it uncomfortable being in the penalty box, being on probation?
Yeah, it took me to a dark place.
Maybe you should tell Maurice about that.
It'll make
him mind his P's and Q's.
I'm okay with being in dark places. I stand up when it gets dark.
You have so the Rams, the Cardinals with Carson Palmer. We don't know what's going to be. That's the X factor.
This right here is all fried, Sheck. That psyche of his,
I agree, Maurice,
is gone. Wow. He has – it's done.
Hey, you have no – Carson Palmer sounds like he was trying to convince himself when he said, hey, you just got to move on from that game. Yeah, no, I don't. You do, fella.
I remember.
You're pretty old.
People don't forget. People don't forget, Shaq.
You don't get the start fresh at 36, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And here's the real team. The Seattle Seahawks, they don't have everybody. I admire Russell Wilson. Yeah. I think he is better than probably – I mean, there are a lot of people out there, football-minded people, who admire and respect and talk about how good he is. But there is a legitimate percentage of football diehards who really look at Russell Wilson and say, he's a little overrated. But I say the offensive line hasn't been good. That didn't do him any favors. The second half that he had last year showed what he can do. I think I compare him to the T-1000. You know, just no matter what you do, you can't kill him. Like, no matter, they could be down 3 touchdowns in the second half, and he just keeps coming. Terminator.
It's the Schwarzenegger model of the Terminator.
Oh, then I'm mistaken. I was talking about the Robert Patrick one. What's that one?
Oh, no, excuse me, you're right. The T-800 was Schwarzenegger.
The T-1000. You can't kill him. No matter what you do, he keeps
going.
Oh,
it's a liquid guy.
Yeah.
Shoot him and he just...
Whatever happens to the Seahawks, they just keep, like Russell Wilson, like, come on, guys, we've got another chance to win on this drive. Like, and he just keeps them going. I think that's the worst thing to be playing is a guy, no matter what you do, you can't get in his head. He's just going to keep on making plays. So I think all that being said, the Seahawks, look at what they got coming up schedule-wise. I mean, they have...
Not a walk in the park.
No, indeed. They go – they better win all their home games. And when I say all their home games, I mean all eight of them.
Gosh, Carolina has to go back to Seattle again?
Listen to this road. I know. Carolina has to go back up there, but that's no gimme for the home team. They beat them up there last year, did the Panthers. They're on a two-game win streak. So if you favor that trend, then the Panthers could win that one again. Now they go on the road. Here's their road slate. They go Cardinals, Niners, Rams, of course. They go down to New Orleans, and all right, that's not much of a home field advantage. Then they play Jameis. All right, so far you're wondering, what are you talking about, Damashek? This isn't tough at all. They go to the Packers. They go to the Patriots. They go to the Jets.
The Jets is tough, man.
Man, that's a tough – that's going to be a tough schedule. They're going to be 9-7-ish. That might be good enough to win the division. But anyway, I'm circling the NFC West as the division.
Who'd I pick again?
To regress. You said the NFC South.
Yeah, I think the South, yeah.
You're going to stay in with that.
I'm going to stay with the South. You got a great argument. Almost had me change.
I can't see a way that the Carolina Panthers, though, don't win double-digit games. I know that.
Why?
When you say it, because their defensive pieces
pieces? They lost a lot of guys, right?
Not really, no. They keep their defensive line and, in fact, add to it. I mean, Jared Allen hangs it up. But
right.
So they keep the core of their defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
They keep their linebackers. Now the Josh Norman thing might – I mean, I don't know how much of a factor that's going to be.
We're going to see how real you really are now. Because you're playing some – they got to play some guys now. I mean, they played some teams last year, but –
All right, and then they get Kelvin Benjamin back to that offense. It'll be interesting to see if they beef up that offensive line a little bit more for Cam. Maybe they go running back there. They get another dynamic piece to help out there with the pieces that they already have. I just can't see a way that the Panthers are going to fall back so far from 15-1.
You know what happens?
They're just going to turn to junk.
You just got to play the games.
Don't give me that. play the games. Yeah, and I figured that. I know that they're going to show up and make them play the games.
You just can't. They're not going.
They're not going to change the rules and just be like, "Ah, you should win." Don't. Why bother with?
Yeah,
the next
that ain't gonna happen.
They're not going to do that.
No. Cam's gonna have to dab again. He's gonna have to find another celebration or something to get the party started.
So all right. So that's my prediction for that one. I think the NFC West is going to be collectively taking a step back this year. I hate to do that though to Bruce Arians.
No, I think you've made a solid argument for why. It's going to happen. You take the team that's most likely to win, and then you kind of pick apart their schedule.
And then you want to hear, I went through these all. This has nothing to do. This doesn't benefit me in any way to say that the Steelers have the best home schedule because they could lose these games. It's not good. But this is I went through all the schedules. Is there a better – if you have season tickets to Heinz Field this year, you get to see the Steelers play the Ravens and the Bengals, both hated, villainous teams, so that's fun. You get to see them play the Patriots – the Dallas Cowboys with Tony Romo, their age-old arch rival, and you get to go see him play Odell Beckham. And the reunion of the Ought 4 QB class of Eli versus Roethlisberger, that's a fun one. Any of those games.
What about the Jets? That's a good
Any of those games are good for prime time stuff. But exactly, the Chiefs, as you just said, Maurice, are going to be good again. Yeah. And the New York Jets. How about that for a home slate? That's juicy.
That's a tough schedule.
Yeah, no matter what. No matter how things shake out, it's going to be – It's going to be a fun walk across the bridge. The Shecks
are going to be live and in full effect this year, baby.
It's going to be very
Look at
bad.
That schedule. Look at that. You got Buffalo's tough. Dolphins, we'll see what they're like. The Colts
Steelers,
bounce back.
Their road schedule isn't that bad. They go to Buffalo, to Miami, Indy, Philly, and D.C.
They say in the Eastern.
Yeah, that seems – You know,
but they, I mean,
yeah,
all things, I mean, that's about as good as you could hope for.
There's going to be some Shecks on a curve. Like, if things are going bad, the Shecks obviously decrease, but the better things go, and you get towards the home game against the Cowboys and the Chiefs, that we might have some high level.
You got to remember, too, Hugh Jackson and Mike Tomlin can like to compete against each other.
Claybon, before we wrap it up, because I know that Maurice would never go and see the Batman versus Superman movie, you wouldn't. Who's your favorite superhero, Maurice?
It's Superman, but that would never happen because you don't even have the real Bruce Wayne there.
I forgot. We just had this conversation. Maurice is a front runner, although the story's so sweet. He's not a front runner because his grandfather gave him the Superman as long as you're playing your side. So that was a sweet story. But generally speaking, as I've made it pretty clear, you're a front runner if you like Superman. He's made out of steel because he's supposed
to win. Why would you fight
him? He's supposed
to win. Exactly. So why would you even fight him?
I saw somebody online passing off a Damashek line, too. When people ask who would win in a fight between Superman and the Hulk, they use the exact same phrase I always use. Superman would just grab the Hulk by the toe and carry him out into deep space and leave him there.
Noted mass murderer Superman would fight the Hulk in that way.
Well, if he's fighting Batman, all bets are off now. You don't know what he's going to fight.
But so who – did anyone go see this?
Yeah, of course. Black Tie, you know, did his Black Tie back there? Arjuna?
I haven't seen it yet.
All right, it's to you then, Claybon.
Just to be a part of the conversation, because I saw the trailers. The trailers.
Oh, I thought you saw the picture.
No, I hadn't seen it yet. And the trailers were absolute trash. I don't know.
Whoa!
I mean, they were bad.
Were they trash?
Didn't make me want to see the movie at all. And obviously, they didn't work on you.
I wasn't going to see it anyways.
I saw Zootopia, and it ranks with one of my five best animated pictures I've seen.
Is it a good one?
Kids. And we've been going to see the movies now for about, you know, whatever, 8-7 years
now. Oh, yeah,
you
got to see all of them.
Yeah, they go back. They predate even the birth of my kids. We go, you know, we watch The Incredibles. My list goes, Incredibles is still number one.
Quality.
Finding Nemo is number two or maybe three. A jump by Book of Life. Did you see Book of Life?
Not there. That.
Oh, it's a nice movie.
This last one?
Two years ago.
There's one coming out, you know.
Book of Life.
There's another Book of Life coming out.
Oh.
That's what this is Jungle Book.
Jungle Book. That's different. Yeah, that looks good, though, too. And now this, and I really liked Inside Out, but I think Zootopia makes my all-time top five.
Rio didn't make it?
I like Rio. I like some of the stuff. I like when my little boy Jean-Claude Van Damashek says, he's like, hello, pretty birds.
Right.
He does that impression, and that makes me
laugh. You didn't like Up?
I liked it.
Did you like Up?
Up was really sad.
Up made me cry.
That was very sad. Mean,
I didn't cry tears, but I was like choked up.
Yeah.
Because it was unbelievable.
I don't know that I want to be that sad again. It was a good experience to have.
Wasn't it? It took you there.
The worst one is the what was it called? It just came out this year. The dinosaur movie.
The Good Dinosaur.
The Good Dinosaur.
I didn't see
that. Was relentlessly depressing.
Yeah.
Don't take your kids to see that one. It just keeps going on. The message of the movie is basically like, hey, anybody you encounter out in the world, don't trust them because they're up to no good.
Or love the people close to you because soon they're going to be gone.
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
But don't take your – if you have – I mean, I doubt you're listening to the DDFP and you're really intolerant. But if you are, don't go see Zootopia. It'll make you angry and you'll probably go on Twitter. And
you know what? I said that. One of my favorite conversations to have is as soon as a movie ends – my daughter and I talk about, what do you think the meaning of this movie was? And she tries to explain it to me. I mean, it really is, I know, facile, but still, it's sort of like, hey, Trump, you should go see that movie.
Yeah.
Your hate talk is not what we need right now. And the Zootopia is, it's about the living in a world where, you know, there are different kinds of people and by and not being told you can't do something.
I can't believe you didn't mention Toy Story.
Ah,
Woody and Buzz Lightyear, that was tier competition.
Top five?
Oh, definitely. That was one of the first ones that started all this nonsense.
Would you be down for a Zack Snyder directed Woody versus Buzz?
Yes. I would go see that.
Always great fun. Hey, by the way, I'm into Spotify. I just discovered it about a month ago. Yes, I don't know where I've been. I've been beefing up the rotation there. I'm soon going to unveil my master list for you. It's going to be – just get ready for it. It's going to be in the triple digits. It's not going to be like, here are the 10 best – no. It's going to be – this is going to range deep for me. It's
just things in general?
No, 100 songs. You know who Spotify is?
No, yeah.
I'm putting together my all-time master.
He's from the Bayou in Alabama.
Yeah, no, we don't have computers.
Patrick Claibon doesn't know computers. And then also, speaking of Jean-Claude Van Damashek, it then reminds me of Steven Seagal. I didn't know you were a Seagal-phile.
Huge.
Claibon. What's your boy? What's the best?
Out for Justice is the best Steven Seagal.
No, you got to be kidding me. All those Under Siege were the best.
Those got the most critical acclaim, and they had the most mass appeal.
There's no such thing as a Seagal movie that got critical acclaim.
The bar fight scene in Out for Justice is up there as one of the greatest scenes.
Do you know that Steven Seagal is like a real environmentalist and hates people who smoke cigarettes?
Yeah.
Did you know that, really?
It's all in this movie. Dan Hansis got me a wedding gift. It was the Seology book.
Was he angry when he gave you that gift?
No,
because he's been a little salty to me and Ike since he didn't win the pie off.
He's been salty since back in November.
Still salty about it, man.
Oh, I'll take it up with him.
Talk to him about it, please.
I will. He told me the other day he's in a good place with you.
With me?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Who says that about a person?
Right? He could be negative. To him, it's good. To me, it's negative.
He has a lot of prepositional phrases and such, Steven Seagal does. Above the law, hard to kill, marked for death, out for justice, under siege, on deadly ground.
That's a good one, too.
That's another reason I don't feel great about Under Siege, just because we lost the format of the three words. Out for justice, marked for death. Under siege, and he didn't have.
Did you not see the train fight? He's fighting a guy, and the train is about to run into some. Listen, man.
And he didn't have his ponytail in Under Siege.
You don't have to have.
But Nico Toscani just bending back bad guys' elbows and breaking them. You can't beat the original. That's gold. And his wife in that one is Sharon Stone, which is weird.
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct, yeah.
That was a quality.
That's Sharon Stone's best era there. That's when she's the fox of foxes. That's the same as Total Recall.
Since we're talking movies, you know who's kind of got me going a little, got my blood flowing a little bit?
Who's that?
And I forgot her name, but the girl in Avengers.
Oh,
Scarlett Johansson
with the red hair.
This is a revelation.
Gosh.
You know what's funny about it?
But see, because the blonde Johansson doesn't do it for me. The red one, though?
Oh, I see.
The red hair, it's different.
Redheaded Johansson.
Oh, yeah, it was different.
I've said about her, it's funny you would mention her name. She is this generation's, back in the 90s, everybody I knew swooned for Uma Thurman. She was the gold standard of women. I never got that one. Scarlett Johansson is that for me now. I don't know why. Everybody is gaga except for me.
You know who else is good? Is Catherine Zeta-Jones back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Entrapment,
yeah.
She was. I watched that the other night, too. I almost had
Zorro.
He's
a revelation.
That's staying power. Selma Hayek.
Yeah, Zorro.
You talk about staying power.
Nah, Selma
Hayek.
No. You're talking. No.
We're talking top of the line here.
We're
not drafting full
roster. We're talking 1942. You're talking Patron.
We're doing MVP races, and you're just filling out a roster.
So you've got ScarJo as your MVP?
I'm just saying she appealed to me. I finally saw her in the right light.
Kate Beckinsale, Jennifer Connelly. These are the gold standards of show business.
No.
Yeah.
Beckinsale and Connelly. Like, Connelly's a deep reach, right?
He's over here shooting three, Shaq. You need to go for these layups, baby. Shaq is over here shooting from half court. You think he's Steph Curry?
Take a deep breath. I'm going to look past it. I'm not going to suspend anybody for disagreeing with me. You both survived the show. You did very nicely. Maurice Jones-Drew, make sure you watch him on Path to the Draft. He's doing great work there.
Thank you, Shaq.
NFL Now, being very funny. He's excited for the return of his pal Ike next week. We're all looking forward to heading off to Chicago. That's going to be great. Claibon. Of course, gangbusters work. Follow him on Twitter, too. He's one of the rangier and funnier Twitter followers out there. He talks about movies. He talks about Well, movies mostly. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much
movies and food.
Once in a while, a little bit of football sprinkled in there, and some basketball too. Right now, let's talk to another guy from UCLA. We had a great conversation with him. I think you're going to like him quite a bit. I think it's the start of a beautiful relationship. Here he is, everybody. Akeem. Oh, before we throw to it, you can watch it on YouTube, right there, Arjuna.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. You can watch this interview on YouTube at your leisure. Here he is, everybody. Akeem Ayers.
Look at this. This guy's got to be as happy as any member of the Los Angeles Rams. Grew up around these parts, played college ball at UCLA. Yeah. Now he's back as a member of those LA Rams. Akeem Ayers, what's happening, fella?
I'm just excited to be here.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
I bet the family's even more excited.
Yeah, of course. And I get to be around my family now. Everyone's get to come visit me more often, watch me play just like when I was back at UCLA.
Well, let's start here. I mean, of all days for you to roll in here. What a breaking news. What do you think about the new QB? What do you think he's going to do for you guys?
Is it a new QB?
Yeah.
Case?
No, Johnny Football. You didn't hear? They traded for him about 20 minutes ago.
You got me.
You didn't fall for my April Fool's. It was an early April Fool's joke.
I would have felt bad because I didn't, I wasn't keeping up with my update on my news feed. So you got me thinking I wasn't on top of my football talk.
Akeem Ayers, already a point for you. Damashek down 0-1 already here. I thought I would trick you.
That was a good one.
Well, not really, because it didn't work.
Thanks for the screen. You can blame the people back there. they gave you up.
Not cool. Not cool, all you people working with Akeem Ayers. I'm here. I'm going to be here tomorrow. Akeem Ayers is going to leave, and then what are you going to – anyway, let's talk about this move to Los Angeles. Are all the teammates – now looking to you to hip them to where the cool areas are. They asking you for real estate advice.
Yeah, well, a lot of people ask me questions. They pretty much know the basics of LA, which they get from people who are helping them move and relocate. But they ask me questions about certain areas and how far is this place from this place. And I mostly tell them it's pretty close, but with traffic in LA, it ends up being far. So I mean, they ask me questions about that and, restaurants and stores and things like that. So I'm able to help them with those type of things.
What we should really do that. You should open a little service between now and the start of the season for your teammates. I'm more than happy to chip in too because I'm a good Samaritan. You and I could be Akeem and Dave, drive LA Rams around town and show them real estate options.
I'll let you do most of the legwork.
Okay.
I just bring the players to you.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that. We'll see. We'll look at the pros and cons of Malibu versus, Thousand Oaks is where the practice facility sounds like it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're off to a good start after that ugliness that began there. Now, speaking of ugliness, something we must figure out between you and me, the uniforms. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've been asked a lot about this.
Yeah.
Where do you come down?
I mean, it would make sense in my head. I think we go back to the throwback uniforms, back when the Rams were here before, I think that would be something that'd be pretty cool.
But which one though? Let's take a look here. I want you to see the one that I like best.
Mm.
The gray face mask. See, it's a subtle thing, but it really makes the whole thing work together for some reason.
I didn't really pay attention to that. Maybe I don't know about the socks. I'm not really feeling the socks.
Okay, that's negotiable for me.
Maybe everything else, but we can maybe stick some more blue socks. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Your ex-teammate, Chris Long, is a uniform aficionado, too. He agrees with me about the gray face mask, and also the flat finish on the pants is key. That's shiny.
Yeah, you don't want it shiny. Flat finish, gray face mask.
Mm-hmm. And that better than the blue and white, the Deacon Jones.
Yeah, the blue and white is a little bit too plain. And it reminds me of the Colts.
That's right.
Why I don't really – we play each other. I just look kind of like a scrimmage or something.
Boy, this is going to be our business opportunity that you and I are putting together. I'm glad that we are like-minded in so many ways here.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we're on the same, page with a lot of things.
What about – so you're an Angelino, but, of course, the weird thing is, being your age, there was no football team here when you were growing up. So who did you root for?
Well, I was a 49er fan.
Oh.
So at that time, they were winning, so – that's the team I seen on TV a lot of times. So you wake up, watch football on Sunday, and being on the West Coast, the 49ers you've seen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when Jerry Rice is playing. So I end up being a 49er fan growing up because I didn't have no home team to root for.
Are they now your least favorite team, or who is the Seahawks?
Well, I just don't have favorite teams anymore.
But come on, you know that NFC West.
Rams
are your favorite.
Rams are my favorite. Seahawks are my least favorite, just because they've been at the top of the division. So
I got you. Who's harder to tackle, a Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick in open space?
I'm gonna say Russell Wilson, just because he's a shorter guy, shorter strides, and halftime you can't see him behind the line of scrimmage, and he gets out and he's scrambling everywhere. So I'm gonna have to go Russell Wilson.
Well, what do you think now? I mean, it's obviously people are starting to get excited around Los Angeles. This is in the vacuum that was created when the Rams moved to St. Louis. This is full on Laker town now. That's the thing, and that's a rare thing in America. But you just are coming from a place where baseball was probably king in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, baseball there was the games are sold out, but that's just because they have a tradition. They winning, and they're always in the postseason, and they just have such great history and tradition. And at the time, the Rams weren't doing as well as far, postseason and winning games. So, people always want to, go to watch the games when the team's winning and things like that. Sure. And, that's how it was there, and it's a smaller town.
Are people, though, are your teammates hitting you up and asking, what kind of town is this going to be? Are they going to be receptive, or do pro football players just assume everybody's going to rally around?
Well, people ask me because, I've been here since the start of all season. And, once the news broke, people asked me, how are the people there taking it in? And it's weird because, after it happened, I see people with Rams shirts out of nowhere. And it kind of shocked me because I'm not used to seeing, Rams football gear at all. And I seen a guy riding down the street with a motorcycle helmet, but it was a Rams football helmet.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So I was kind of shocked to see, all the stuff that people are wearing that Los Angeles Rams.
What a cool thing. And then you're going to get to play your games in the Coliseum. Yeah. That'll be a little bit of a trip, though, right? Will you feel uncomfortable going into Trojan territory then?
Yeah, I wish it was a Rose Bowl, but unfortunately it isn't. So hopefully they just cover all up I don't even know what color they wear, yellow or maroon.
Call it whatever you want.
It really doesn't matter. But as long as they can cover it up with some nice blue and gold, remind me of playing at the Rose Bowl.
I'm going to be busy shepherding Los Angeles Rams around town, but in my free time, I guess I can go and take that on as well.
Yeah, I'll get you in contact with somebody.
Okay.
And, we can work something out.
All right, excellent. So what is, if you're giving these guys tips, it makes sense for you to live up in Thousand Oaks area because you're going to be spending a lot of time up there. Yeah. What is your favorite area of Los Angeles now that you're back?
Ooh, my favorite area actually been Marina Del Rey. I love that area. When I first came back from my first off season, that's where I live. I just love it because it's right off the, it's right near the beach. It's like, it's just a great community, great vibe you get just being by the water. A lot of people on bikes, it's just a good vibe. So that's pretty much where I've been since, every off season when I come back.
What do you think about, talk about this as much as you can, obviously. It's tough to address in March here, but I've heard some people say, L.A., they like winners. Who else likes winners? Everybody else.
Everybody. Yeah. Nobody wants, hey, we like losers.
Yeah, woohoo! We went 3-13. I want season tickets for next year. That doesn't happen anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But what can you say to Rams fans? And in fact, maybe you could lay it out there for the rest of the NFC West so they know what's coming to get them in 2016. What is the state of the Rams right now? A lot of excitement, obviously, after Todd Gurley's rookie season. Where do you think you guys sort of stand in that, what's been a pretty rugged division the last few years?
I mean, I think we're in good shape as a team. Like, we have talent all across the board. And I think now, we have a lot of guys who are, even more motivated now. I'm not saying we weren't motivated before, but, just coming with change and just, change of scenery and just, just having a new atmosphere, I think it's going to be good for our team. And we're going to, everyone's going to be excited for this season coming up. And I think guys are going to work harder. A lot of people on the other team, a lot of people want to stay, so everybody want to go play their best, to stay on the team and to be around.
Isn't it kind of, this happens with the NBA teams that come visit and have to play the Clippers or Lakers in the afternoon the next day. Is that a legitimate advantage? Like, those teams don't show up on Sunday matinees because they enjoy LA a little bit too much. Do you, is that something? Will guys be excited when they visit Los Angeles? Will they say, Well, we have one night in Hollywood. Yeah. We kind of got to take advantage of it, right, Coach? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, our rules are a little different. You know, they're pretty much strict on our, you know, with our curfew. But I mean, it definitely could be advantage if you know they're here for a couple more days, mm-hmm. and like who wouldn't want to go out and visit or go do certain things.
You'll know some A-list celebrities. You should say, hey, Russell Wilson, wouldn't you like to go out with George Clooney tonight?
Yeah, hook him up with some people, tell them, keep them out late, make them miss curfew.
If nothing else, Ciara is a big star. She's surely connected in Hollywood. When Russell Wilson comes down here to play you guys, he's going to be out tripping the light fantastic, right?
Hopefully keep him a little distracted.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a good plan. Maybe that's another part of our, we can set up.
Our multi-pronged attack to make the LA Rams thrive.
That's going to work.
Let's do this.
Add that in there.
All right. Let's talk about this now. You ever see that show Inside the Actor Studio? It's with James Lipton. He's a bald fellow with a beard. He talks to high-profile actors, and at the end, he asks some questions that are supposed to somehow show your soul in some way, who you really are. Let's do that, Akeem.
Right.
Ready? What's your favorite word?
My favorite word? Probably, yeah. You know why?
Because
I play a lot of video games, a lot of NBA 2K. So probably just I yell a lot, and I love to try to get people heads. So that's probably my favorite word, but it's a little more exaggerated.
As in antagonistic, yeah, like
yeah, like
in your face,
yeah, like.
I got you. All right, what's your least favorite word?
Least favorite word. I think everyone's least favorite word should be no.
I like that.
Who wants to get told no?
That's true. Has anybody ever told you you have a laugh that sounds vaguely familiar with? I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper, and then I want you to say if you've heard this one before. What celebrity do people say you laugh like?
No one ever told me I laugh like anything.
You laugh like I wrote Jay-Z is what I wrote down. That's who you laugh like. Have you ever heard that? You got that laugh. Kind of like that.
I'm thinking about it now. That's why I think it's. Every time I laugh, you got me thinking about that. Every time I laugh, I picture Jay-Z.
Would Jay-Z be good to play you in a movie? Who should play you in a movie if they ever make the Akeem Ayers picture?
What is that guy name that played in that? Well, he's a little too old.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, he's a little. Little too light. So I need somebody, it was one guy. He's a little older.
Not Apollo Creed. Not Carl Weathers.
See, I'm bad with names. Yeah. So Denzel.
Okay, Denzel works.
The younger Denzel, not the Denzel now.
You're not thinking Snipes, are you? Wesley Snipes.
No, Wesley Snipes, no. I need somebody who has a little swag and who got some charm to him. Mm-hmm. I need one of those guys.
Oh, so in other words, you'd like Dave Damashek to play you. I think he'd be good. No.
Who's that, you?
Who's that? Your business partner, pal. Who's that? All right, let's continue with our quiz here. What turns you on, Akeem Ayers?
As far as what?
As far as this is a G-rated program. Or PG at worst.
Oh man, I don't really know, man.
Beating people in Madden.
That's one.
All right, that's good.
That gets my blood flowing. 2K, it's actually 2K, then Madden.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What turns you off?
Boring people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you don't laugh.
This is gonna be over in just a second, trust me. Just bear with me for another second. what noise do you love to hear?
The sound of water, dripping, rain, or waterfalls, or anything like that.
Do you you sleep with one of those sound machines that makes that? You can buy one.
I had an app before, and it doesn't cut it.
It might make you have to pee all night though, if you hear trickling water.
Once I hear that, I'm passed out.
Is that right?
Puts me in a deep sleep.
I love those. Now, but
deep sleep.
Problem is that thing gets the hook in you real bad. Yeah. Then you can't sleep unless you have it.
Yeah. See, I don't want to get addicted to it. So
that's right. I've already got the monkey on my back. What noise do you hate to hear?
I hate to hear probably bells. Or like kid toys.
I know
some
of
them kid toys that just make a lot of noise just for no reason.
Yeah.
Like those type of toys.
The ones that play really loud music when you first get it with the little kids, it's cute. And then about 4 minutes after they do it, you hear the song for the 28th time.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah. Then you have to break the child's toy.
Maybe Frozen, if that can be one.
Go play outside.
I heard about it a million times.
Let it go?
Heard that? A million.
So then you know the words then?
A little bit.
You know, if you want to sing it, you can. Let it go.
We can get us a duet.
A duet. All right, I'll do the first part. Let it go.
Let it go.
Listen, all right, anymore. Let it go. I don't know.
Yeah, I just mumble after that.
I know.
So you can just like go along with it. The music's loud.
We could act it out, but I don't think that would do anything for anybody.
Oh, yeah, I'll pass on that.
What profession would you like to have if you weren't a pro football player?
If I want a pro football player, I don't know. It just had to be something active. I like to be active. I don't want to, maybe television.
Look
but maybe I want to be behind the scenes probably too. Maybe like some like film production or. I mean, I would think something with.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about too much in front of the camera, maybe, or maybe I want to do both. But I mean, that seems pretty interesting.
This is going to be the thing. This is fun. Now that you're in LA, this is what you can do.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, that's a good plan. Which profession would you not want to have?
I would not want to be work at a restaurant.
I hear you on that. It's a weird thing. That question, and this isn't my questions.
Yeah.
They're somebody else's questions, and I ask them. But it always occurs to me, like, there are a lot of jobs I wouldn't want to do.
There's
like, what job wouldn't I want to do a lot?
There's a million of them.
Yeah,
there's a million of them. Because I thought about one. What I don't like doing the most, I hate cooking.
Cooking? I wouldn't want to be a janitor.
I wouldn't
want to
work
fun.
In the sewers.
I wouldn't want to plunge toilets for a living.
It's a lot of things.
I wouldn't want to deal with other people's feet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a weird one. Those people, when they are in the training room, they wrap your feet.
Yeah.
Don't you feel bad about that?
I see a lot of nasty toes. Mine aren't that bad, just my big toes because I got stepped on every training camp. But the rest of them, the other eight are like perfect.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, so you got that going for you. And when you get to the pearly gates, what do you hope God or whoever's manning the gates that day has to say to you?
I hope he has a lot of confetti, throws it up.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah, and then, like, I just go there, and it's just, like, a big party, and then, yeah.
so saying, come on in won't be enough.
With, like, a banner with my name and, like, yeah.
By the way, a dumb question, but Akeem, when I say your name, it does remind me of Coming to America.
Yeah,
There's no connection, right?
None at all. But I get that. I've been getting that forever.
Prince Akeem.
Get that all the time.
You've seen the movie, though.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Love the movie.
One of the funniest movies.
Yeah, love the movie.
All right, you know what? I think this guy has a future in the movies if he wants it. In the meantime, you're going to get to watch him toil for your Los Angeles Rams, L.A. He and his pals are coming to town. And in the meantime, apparently I'm going to be shuttling those players around.
Gotta work, you got to handle that. Yeah.
So okay. Already, you're the boss, and I'm already I'm the number two in our operation. All right. I respect it. I respect it, Akeem Ayers.
You know me busy. I got to stay focused so I can make sure
You've already shown yourself to be smarter than me. You didn't fall for my dumb trick at the start here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They helped me out back there, so got to give them a little credit.
Wait a second. They told you I was going
to
do that?
No, I just happened to look over there.
That's it. I'm done. Good luck, Akeem Ayers.
Thank you.
Well, that's that, everybody. Good times with Akeem. And like I say, I think we have a few businesses now, few business ventures that we got to get up and running before the season starts. But it looks suddenly my pockets are going to be filled with greenbacks as soon as we get these things going here. Claybon, great stuff. Maurice, great stuff. Thanks for joining us. And make sure you join us later in the week. I believe we're going to be joined by Derrick Henry. Uh-uh. And I'm not sure who else, so make sure you tune in for that one. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Bye.